This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
To fit those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. So I just did me some talking to the sun.
We need a Sundance or something else collectively across the United States, because boy, it has been a nightmare for so many of us. Hey everybody, Kate Delaney, as always, thrilled to be the skipper of this ship, even though it's a little soggy. I live in the North Texas area, and we've seen floods like we haven't seen in a very long time. Anyone who lives near a creek, pretty much they're seeing the water rise through garages, down roads, etc. The lucky news there is a lot of it went away on Monday. It's receding a little bit, but the bad news is more rain is falling. But how about the people in Lake Charles, Louisiana? They're saying it could be a 100-year event inundated with rain. And I feel for all of our great listeners on listening to us on 104.1 FM KLCJ there in Lake Charles, because they made the cover of USA Today with kids in boats and, you know, being hauled down streets and whatnot. And they're saying that this is probably meeting the threshold of a 100-year event, like I said. So 30 million people threatened by flooding this week in the south central U.S. When you talk about flash floods and that emergency issued by the weather services and Baton Rouge, Louisiana, they're saying that overnight, too, impacted terribly in Dallas and San Antonio, where streets you can, you know, get in a canoe and you're able to paddle down them. Oklahoma, Arkansas, historic events. And Louisiana, though, hit very, very hard on Monday. And I mentioned Lake Charles, 12 to 15 inches of rain in a 12-hour period. And sadly, this is what happens. People get trapped in cars, or your home starts to flood. So they are inundated with hundreds and hundreds of phone calls for people who need rescues. They weren't realizing how fast it's falling. And when you get a foot of rain that quickly, I mean, everybody's scrambling. And that's exactly what happened. All of a sudden, places that weren't supposed to have a canal looked like they had a canal in them. And this is worse than what happened with Hurricane Laura, in some cases with the water, and Hurricane Delta, which they were back-to-back, if you remember. Even Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards said through Twitter that Homeland Security for the state was in contact with local leaders about, what do you need? We know that this is potentially life-threatening, flash floods. And, you know, I can remember as a kid, every once in a while I'd hear something about flash floods, and then I wasn't driving and I wasn't paying attention to it. But if you've ever been caught in a flash flood, you know exactly what that's like and how quickly a car can turn into a boat. And so this weather is just gripping all the areas that I mentioned. And hey, not alone in the south and the central part of the United States. Pacific Northwest, Northern Rockies, next couple of days, the Weather Service is saying storm watch, winter storm watch in effect. So rain and snow dumping on parts of the Pacific Northwest. Mother Nature, we need a break. We want to see the sun again. We need the sun. Because, ironically, the great thing that has happened
in these United States, while we know that in India and some other places they're still really suffering from COVID-19. I mean, hey, the number of weekly deaths from COVID-19 fell to the lowest levels in 14 months. I mentioned a little bit about this the other night, but I'm going to give you some hard data. Reuters did some tallying, and there were 4,165 total deaths in the week ending on May 16th. That's the lowest number since March 2020. So think about where we were in March 2020 when there were 2,293 deaths. Four states, Texas, Arizona, Minnesota, Massachusetts, at least one day with zero deaths in the past week. Wow. The number of new cases, I love saying these numbers, I hated saying the others, fell to 233,000 a week. That's a decrease, I'm counting on my fingers, because that's how I roll. It's a decrease of 20%, lowest number since last June. Just four states, Alabama, Mississippi, Vermont, Nevada, Washington, D.C., saw cases rise over the past week. Alabama, they say a 280% increase in new cases, but that's because the numbers, the data, included a backlog of coronavirus test results. So, of course, they didn't have them, and then all of a sudden it's an avalanche of them, so that's why that's a little skewed. I'd say a lot skewed. But look, nationwide, hospitalizations down 12%, four straight weeks. And then you think about the reversal and the confusion from the CDC when it comes to masks on, masks off. So this is all really, really great stuff. The fact that we have seen those numbers go backwards. I have never been excited about saying those ugly COVID numbers since the start of this thing a year ago. But to be able to say those kinds of numbers and to look around and see more people smiling, hanging out, feeling like life is sort of opening again, you keep hearing people talk about traveling and saying, oh my gosh, I haven't been out in 14 months. I haven't been able to get on a plane. I haven't seen my mother. I haven't seen my grandmother. I haven't seen XYZ, my pals, whatever. So great stuff. Not everything in the land of milk and honey is fabulous. And certainly throughout this show, we'll get to that. We got the mailbag coming up this next segment. And then Governor Lamont in Connecticut with some exciting news, or at least something to light a fire under some people who don't want to go back to work. One of the concerns about COVID-19 lifting, and let's face it, the money that people were getting on unemployment that they desperately, in so many cases, needed. But the concern always was, what's going to happen when you spend 14 months or 13 months and you're stuck in this weird bubble? Now you got to gear it back up again, and you got to feel like, okay, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to sling it, you know, sling the hash, do what I have to do. And so there's a lot of jobs that aren't being filled. You're also seeing some individual companies raise the dollar amount on what normally workers were getting before, like Bank of America. They're raising it to minimum wage, $25 an hour, because they got to get people in certain positions that, like other companies, they're struggling to fill spots in many cases. I don't think I've ever seen so many help wanted signs. I honestly can say that in any place I live, I've never seen so many help wanted signs. Even on the community Facebook pages, you're seeing jobs that are out there that people are asking, do you know anyone who needs a job? So there certainly is work. Mailbag next.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my Sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Mailbag is full, so let's dive right in. 24/7. You can send me your thoughts, k2katedelaneyradio.com. Dan, listening to us in Davenport. Dan in Davenport. UFOs. Kate Delaney, I've had friends that have talked about UFOs, and I thought, well, they just had a little too much of the liquid we were imbibing in. But maybe there's something to it. I heard you mention that UFO report and what it might show us. And I have to tell you, it kind of raised the hair on my arms. Then I looked up that 60 Minutes program that you mentioned, and boy, so is it something that's a missile from China, some kind of weird technology? Is it something else? I mean, what are the what ifs, and what is the phenomenon? I think it's going to be difficult to explain, and I think national intelligence reports are probably going to show that, because I think those pilots. They're not just saying they're seeing flying objects, they're seeing something. Absolutely. You know what, it is scary, Dan, right, when you think about it. I mean, it's just weird. So the Sunday night segment that was on, the former Navy pilot David Fravor talked about a 2004 thing that happened off Southern California. He said he and three other pilots spotted an unexplained large area of white water surrounded by a calm sea. And he said, we saw this little white tic-tac-looking object, and it's just kind of moving above the white water area. So what's the explanation? What's the what if? And the upshot of that was, I don't know who's building it, who's got the technology, who's got the brains, but there's something out there that was better than our airplane, is what he said. What is better than the airplane? So, wow. Now these UFO sightings have been declassified, and some of them have been in the past, but now there's more information
than ever that's being released. So, how does that song go? I'm just thinking of all the things that I've seen. Do you believe it? Do you believe there's aliens, UFOs? Something to think about, right? And, of course, there have been all kinds of reports in the past, and people write them off as wacky, unexplained, whatever, or they bury it. Let's see what actually is declassified, I guess. All right, here's one from Hal, and he says, Miss Kate, I hear you talk about Florida. I know that you were down in Florida. Did you notice that there were a lot of people on boats? I think you were in an area, you talked about St. Petersburg, where you see a lot of boats. And, you know, some of those boats, people are actually living on sailboats and whatnot because it's cheaper. And if they have a boat, that they've used that now for a place to hang out. And I think that's a result of COVID. So what do you think about that? Could you see yourself living on a boat somewhere instead of on ground? Well, I feel like I'm living in a boat right now because of all the rain. It's an interesting question to pose to me. I have a fascination with boats. I do. But living on a sailboat right now as an alternative of housing for me, if you're really being serious about this question for me, no. I don't see that. I like to go on boats. I like the water a lot. I feel very calm and, I don't know, I'm at a sense of peace when I'm around water or something. But living on the boat, it had to be a pretty big boat. First of all, I have Guinness, who I have no idea how he would react to the water. Because so far, it's not like he dives in and he's swimming all around anytime we're near water. And this dog is like a Land Rover. He's so fast and loves to run. I just can't see that. So there's number one. And it's interesting because that kind of segues into this next one. So thanks for that, Hal. This comes to us from Marie, who says, Kate, I did some checking and you mentioned a story about people giving back puppies that they had adopted during the pandemic. Can you imagine doing that? I think that you adopted one. This makes me so furious. It would have been better just don't adopt them, because now they've lived with whoever and had that love, and now they're giving them back in some areas at rates where they can't get them adopted fast enough, and they've already been with families, and you said it, that they've been with the families, picked up whatever habits, and now they may not get adopted, and who knows what happens from there. It would be awful if a lot of those dogs had to be destroyed. Yeah, I can't even think about it. I can't even go there with you on that. I mean, you know, you see all those spots about getting the dogs, getting animals spayed and neutered and all that, and there's a reason for that, right? Because then you have the exploding population. And just like children, I know that's not a good comparison because, of course, kids, the worst ever, the foster system overwhelmed and things that happen. I mean, we've done many, many, many series and shows on that and talked to lots and lots of people. But the animals, right, so vulnerable, too. And the fact that, hey, now I got to go back to work. This was fun, but life is changing, so I can't do it. I get it when somebody gets older and they have an event they don't foresee, they lose somebody, they get cancer, they absolutely cannot take care of an animal, you know, they go to a home, something, or they die, so they pass away, something happens. Totally, completely understand that. And there are circumstances where that makes sense. But it makes me so sad to think that you adopt and you keep the pet. So you adopted it, you kept the pet for a year or whatever, and then you give them back. Wow. So, no, I can't imagine. I can't imagine at all. Guinness has been amazing. And certainly in the very beginning, there's things that you deal with the dog. It's a commitment. That's the thing. It's a commitment. And cat and dog commitments are also different. It's different when you have a cat. There's a commitment there, but it's a different kind of commitment, way different kind of commitment than a dog. A dog is, is a lot of work. So, yeah. And, you know, dogs being returned. So you said you did some research on it. You can look at, you know, you can look, depending on where you live, at these shelters, and you'll probably see that, you know, you'll see that all over the place, that everybody wanted a puppy when the pandemic started, but now these shelters across the country are seeing massive amounts of returns to when they were so happy that, oh, my gosh, we don't even have any, to now we're overrun, right? And it's just a, what a hard adjustment, what a hard, hard thing. And the numbers are different. So owner surrenders were up 82.6% compared to 2020. 82.6%. That's overall the numbers we know from shelters that are putting out those numbers in the United States, the numbers that have the numbers been crunched. And they are down, though. That number's high, but they are down by 12.5% versus 2019. So what will it be at the end of the year? What's that going to look like at the end of 2021? I mean, get a dog walker. Figure out ways around it. Something. After all that companionship and everything else. Ugh, I'm getting off the rails on this. All right, let's bounce back. This one is from Chris, who says, Kate, what's happening with Joe Biden and what's going to go on with Israel and the Palestinians? I mean, his two feet are right in the middle of this, and I think his Democratic brothers and sisters are not happy about him taking a tougher stand on Israel and stronger support for the Palestinians. Yeah, that's exactly right. So there are people that are lobbying him to say, yeah, you're not. What about the other side? So Biden was in Detroit. He took a tour of an electric vehicle plant, and he promoted the infrastructure plan and the whole thing about bolstering his domestic agenda. But now you got this deadly conflict in the Middle East, and everybody's weighing in. So you had Arab American protesters that were at a mosque in Dearborn right before the visit because they wanted to demonstrate how furious they were at the president's approach to what this conflict is. And, you know, he's getting a lot of calls from Congress, from individual congressmen and women and senators to devote time to this issue and to devote time when he was there in Michigan to meet with Arab Americans, but he didn't do that because that area is 90% Arab American. Stay tuned for more on whatever that policy or interference or no interference is going to look like. Stay with us.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The CDC says that more than 600,000 kids aged 12 to 15 have received their first dose of Pfizer's COVID vaccine in the first few days of its availability. Those new numbers adding to the nearly 3.5 million Americans under 18 that are already vaccinated. The American Academy of Pediatrics says that cases among children have become a large segment of newer COVID cases. Children comprise nearly a quarter of all new COVID cases in last week's data. And ahead of a vote on legislation to set up a 9/11-style congressional committee to investigate the January riots at the Capitol, some Republican leaders are questioning the need for it. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell told reporters that his members are still undecided.
I think I'm safe in characterizing our conference as willing to listen to the arguments about whether such a commission is needed.
McConnell added that he questioned whether a commission would get in the way of ongoing criminal investigations. This is USA Radio News. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is joining calls for a boycott of the 2022 Beijing Winter Olympics, citing China's human rights record. During a congressional hearing on the Games Tuesday, Pelosi said she supports a diplomatic boycott of the Games and called out corporate sponsors of the Olympics willing to turn a blind eye to genocide.
How sad it is to see the Winter corporate sponsors look the other way on China's abuses of out of concern for their bottom line, with some even lobbying against the bipartisan Uyghur forced labor bill. Imagine they're lobbying against a bill of forced labor when our country has declared this a genocide. Here's what I propose, and join those who are opposing, is a diplomatic boycott.
A number of human rights groups issued a joint statement on Monday calling for the U.S., Canada, and other nations to lead a full boycott of the games that are set to begin in Beijing in February 2022. This is USA Radio News.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Norrie, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit brightsidebend.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Bend team. Go to brightsidebend.com. That's brightsidebend.com.
Kinetics is going to offer you a $1,000 signing bonus. You see, the big athletes get a signing bonus. Why don't you get a signing bonus as well? So for those of you who have been long-term unemployed for a while, we're going to pay you $1,000 at the end of 2 months of work, give you the incentive to get back to work.
Wow, how about that? Governor Lamont announcing a back-to-work program in Connecticut. They're handing out money, a $1,000 bonus to 10,000 long-term unemployed people who live in Connecticut if they get these jobs, and you heard him say that. So in Connecticut, I know a bunch of people are listening to Connecticut, you all know this, it's a Democratic-controlled legislature, and that's what the proposal is about, $2.8 billion in federal funds from the American Rescue Plan. Remember that was there. But how does that differ from what he's talking about? Lamont's plan was announced before the state knew it would be getting about $200 million more in federal funding, and that they proposed to spend about $50 million to lower the unemployment trust fund debt incurred by the number of people filing for unemployment during the pandemic. So crunch all these numbers together, and what's being said is that the reason the Appropriations Committee voted to increase that to $310 million, you're saying the investment could pay off about 25% of the debt in that fund, which would help every single business in Connecticut. I mean, Connecticut has borrowed $725 million from the federal government to maintain unemployment benefits during the pandemic, and that number is expected to swell. This is something that is not talked about very often. So Connecticut's largest business lobby, they love the move. They say it's a looming crisis, and businesses in Connecticut would have been paying down the debt for years to come, years to come. And this will help with that economic recovery, and that's Connecticut's Business and Industry Association. And their president put out a statement about that. So you look at it and what it would be to pay it off and what happened during the Great Recession. And I think this is something to look at with everywhere where people are talking about this. It took, so when I first heard that at first blush, I was like, what is he doing? And then when I dug deeper, and that made sense to me when you think about how long it took businesses. So just Connecticut, it took them 5 years to pay off $1 billion that they borrowed during the Great Recession. So then businesses, you have a business, you're on the hook to repay the money the state borrowed if the state doesn't step in and contribute more. So that hits businesses again. Again. So that's the good news. That's exactly the way to look at this, because that was a way to figure this out, to how do we flip this around. But when you first hear it, you're like, what? What? I mean, does that really make sense, that plan? But then when you think, again, when you think about what the businesses would have to eat, it does make sense, right? It does. Because people were panning it at first. And they were saying, wait, that signing bonus, that's ridiculous. And then they could just do work for however many weeks, and then the 8 weeks allotted, and then bang out of there. But I think it's about that payback. It's about the businesses and what would happen to the businesses when you look at the broader picture. Because initially, that was my reaction, too. Like, oh, I could see how easy it would be to just take that and then jump out after however many weeks, knowing, okay, I fulfilled what I said I was going to do. Yeah. I like it. I wonder how many other states are considering something like this. And I don't have a beat on that because there aren't any hard statistics, and it depends on individual, of course, it depends on individual states, what they're doing and what they got socked for, but some did. Speaking of getting socked, Andrew Giuliani felt like his father really took the heat just because of his relationship with Trump and said it was wrong that he was such a target. So he decided to do something about it. And so what do you do when this is happening to your father? He officially entered the race for governor, New York governor, on Tuesday. That number of people that for that Republican field for the 2022 election has really exploded. And he said he's going to tour the state. He's got a message on cutting crime in New York, lowering taxes, offering more school choice for students and parents. He said, I'm optimistic we're going to turn New York State around, but it has to be now. And, he, you know, he's 35. He's been around lots of these politicians that are still in place or have some sway. And he was on a New York radio show. He was on Joe Piscopo. Remember Joe Piscopo from forever ago on Saturday Night Live has a news talk show, and he was on that show talking about it. And Republicans haven't won a statewide race in New York since 2002 when Governor Pataki got a third term. But now, because of the scandal around Andrew Cuomo, whose future is a little uncertain with these investigations against him, which includes sexual harassment, underreporting of COVID-19 nursing home deaths, and then the crazy details of his $5 million book deal last year. So there is an opening. There are some possibilities. And Republicans are chomping at the bit. They're being super aggressive in jumping into the governor's race, thinking, why not? This could be a wide open field. So, you know, younger Giuliani says New York should be the safest large city in the world. Here's what I wonder. Will Donald Trump stump for Giuliani too? I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, he said he did speak to Trump and his father before his announcement. And I think that's pretty interesting. But if you remember, the former president lost in his home state in both presidential elections. And Rudy, who was America's mayor and was a superstar after the 9/11 terrorist attacks, has a mixed bag relationship, I think, with the people of New York, including he had a run for president. He had a failed run for president. But New York is about comebacks, and the scandals engulfing Andrew Cuomo are certainly helping the Republicans. And I wouldn't be stunned if we see, because I can't imagine Cuomo survives this. But then who's in, you know, who is going to be the Democrat that's going to be there going up against XYZ Republican? Interesting, right? It's interesting to watch that. So I like to call this a little bit of odds and ends. We started with the governor. I thought it was intriguing what he did, and then it makes more sense to me. I was ready to go after him because I didn't like what I heard earlier in the day, but then upon thinking about the businesses and then ultimately who would be on the hook and what that means, maybe that was the right call. I'm sure there are plenty of people in Connecticut who don't think so, and this may be coming to your neighborhood soon. Who knows? In the meantime, crazy, crazy, awful, awful thing. Just a terrifying thing to think about. You know, you tuck a kid into bed and you kiss him goodnight, and then that's it. And you hope that, you know, all the horrible dreams or bad nightmares or anything that could come crashing in around them would not happen to your child. But imagine just 2 hours, they're in bed sleeping. And then in the morning you wake up and you're a neighbor and you see a four-year-old lying in a neighborhood street. Apparently, in Dallas, a man lifted the boy from his bed, carried him away, and because there was home surveillance video. And this boy was being taken care of by a girlfriend of the father. The girlfriend said that the father had been absent since March. And then you see this video, and it's the father apparently taking him from his bed. And then what do you see after that? You see, him on camera. And you see that he's been charged now with kidnapping and theft. And they think there's going to be more charges when the forensics of all of this is returned. But police got a call that there was a child dead on a neighborhood street at about 6:50 or so on Saturday morning. I mean, and all they would say is that the boy died in a violent manner with an edged weapon. So it was, again, the neighbor in this neighborhood who comes out and sees the little boy on the street and realizes that he's dead. And they're still trying to figure out, you know, some more details on that and releasing very little about it, but just it's an awful thing. Marks on his face, all kinds of things that they don't even want to describe what happened to him. Imagine seeing that. Awful. All right, coming up next, we're going to lighten the load, sort of, because we're going to go to the Man Cave next on the show. I'll see you there.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1 pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
I'm going to the man cave.
Going to the man cave.
Going to the man cave.
I'm going to the man cave.
Cave already, for goodness sake. About to make a big production of it. We're here, and there's a lot to talk about, including New York Mets outfielder Kevin Pillar, multiple nasal fractures. Now, what could have happened to him? Of course, he was hit in the face by a pitch. Ooh, it was scary to see it. Jacob Webb, who was a Braves reliever, just threw a serious fastball at him, 94, 95 miles an hour, and he went down, and it was frightening to see. One of the things he said is, and he's sad because he's going to be out, but and he's, of course, meeting with the facial specialist to determine what does he do, how does he recover. He said his right eye has a little bit of swelling. He can't really breathe out of his nose, but he feels good. He feels lucky and excited to get his recovery on and get back to what he loves to do. He's a veteran, and they need him in their lineup, and he's on the 10-day injured list. He said it was just a scary thing, and his manager said the same thing. It's unbelievable he's here and walking around. Luis Rojas said that Pillar is expected to be out for probably a pretty extended period. His face has to heal up, and boy, oh boy, and he was brought out, he was brought out of the Mets lineup for the exchange at home plate with, Braves coach Walt Weiss and the four umpires, and he had a bruised and swollen face and a small pad stuffed into his right nostril, and he just shook everyone's hand, and they all patted him, you know, on the back or whatever. I mean, he was hit square on the nose, because I've seen that video from a couple of different angles, and Pilar said there weren't any hard feelings toward Webb, who was the pitcher, and he said, I am worried for him. He said, I know he didn't want to hit me. He didn't want to hit me in the face. Accidents happen. I know he feels bad. We talked, and I'm almost more worried about him than I am myself. He was trying to throw a high pitch, but the ball got away from him in delivery. And if you watch the replay of this, his knees just kind of buckled and he fell to the dirt after he struck Pilar. And in the dugout, the Braves coaches both had long conversations with the pitcher because it's the guilt that he feels for doing it that happened. But boy, blood just poured from his nose when he lifted his head. And of course, they took him to the hospital for a CAT scan. No serious damage. Whew, that was good because it looked pretty scary to me. And his MRI was clean, and so that's the good news there. And he's just going to have to recover from that. But I mean, he's lucky. You see that footage, and you just, I mean, it just takes your breath away. It was that awful. All right, this also took my breath away when someone has an incredible performance. But that's what you expect from Jason Tatum, dumping 50 points. And that propelled Boston to a playoff matchup against Brooklyn. Because, you know, now it's about scrambling for seats. And I watched a little bit of the tail end of this, of the Celts pulling it out, you know, 118-100 over the Wizards. So that's the deal with the playing in and trying to get in. And he left it on the court. I mean, wow, 50 points. 50 points. It's kind of like I look at the Pacers, right? And the Indiana Pacers routed Charlotte. They move on in the play-in tournament. They wanted to make sure they had that intensity, and they accomplished that big time. They drubbed the Hornets 144-117, so they advanced to the next move, which means Indiana takes on Washington on Thursday night to try to get that eighth seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs. And I mean, almost everybody, they spread that ball around. And the Pacers' offense never, never, ever, ever slowed down. I mean, they were just pinging the scoreboard. In fact, I don't know recently where I've seen a game where it's just, wow, has lit up like that. All right, I got to say something about one of my favorite people because of what he does for the people, you know, in Alabama and other places. But Charles Barkley has given $1,000 apiece to more than 200 employees of a city school system in his native Alabama. The former Auburn and NBA basketball star, you see him on TNT, he's so funny, you see him in commercials. He graduated from Leeds High School in 1981, and the money is going to the Leeds City School System, the employees there. And, of course, they said they're humbled by it, and, you know, they put something on Facebook and whatnot. But this guy's a good guy. I mean, he gives back to the community that he's from. He's a supporter of girls and boys basketball programs in Leeds, and he's helped them get laptops and hotspots for virtual learners during the pandemic. And that's kind of people you need, right? Barkley knows that he was talented, and he's led a blessed life in many senses, at least, you know, certainly with the law of abundance. And he gives back, and so, you know, that's what happens. I really, really, really like him. We jump to baseball, and the best player in baseball, I think the best player in baseball, certainly one of them, Mike Trout, is out 6 to 8 weeks with a calf strain. That's bad news for the Angels. He said he lifted his head to watch a routine fly ball in Monday's first inning of the game. You know, obviously that he's playing, and I also went back and looked at the tape on this, and he knew it too. And he put his head down to jog to the dugout when the final out was recorded. And at that point, he thought he had gotten hit by a line drive, but when he reached third base, he knew something wasn't right. He went to the clubhouse. He thought he might have ruptured his Achilles tendon. Luckily, it wasn't that bad, but still enough when you have the strain on the calf that you're going to be out for a while. I mean, he started the 2021 season with the best 30-game start of his career, and he's had an incredible career. And even slowing down lately, he's still batting .333, 8 homers, 18 RBIs through 36 games. His on-base percentage number is huge. And he's a fan favorite, and he's a force to be reckoned with for the Angels. So they're going to be minus him for 6 to 8 weeks. I'm sure Angels manager Joe Maddon not happy about that. But what do you do? It's a weird injury, and it's one that you can't, I mean, he can't do what he has to do with that calf the way it is. I mean, this is a guy who's a three-time AL MVP. He's missed some extended time in four of the past five seasons. You know, he's had a couple of things that have happened to him. But then when he jumps back in or right before the injury, his numbers are so sky high. You know, and he can't, it's such a grind. He can't, you can't do anything when you've got that kind of a calf pull strain like that. When you're talking about you're in a bus, you're on a plane, you get up, you play the next day, you know, there's no way. I mean, it's a grind, and with that kind of an injury, he has no choice but to be, you know, out for that long. Hopefully it's on the six, it's of the 6 week variety and not the, you know, not the worst of the worst. I said something the other day about Bob Baffert and the fact that, oh my gosh, Baffert has been banned from entering horses at the Belmont. So Medina's Spirit cleared his last pre-Preakness drug test, went into the Preakness from the number three spot, did not win, obviously came in third show. And now at Belmont, because this is the trickle-down effect of what happened at the Kentucky Derby, and I talked about this a little bit the other day, but it's a huge story. Baffert was suspended from entering any horses at New York racetracks pending that investigation into the Kentucky Derby. So he can't stable any horses at Belmont Park, Aqueduct, Saratoga, or any run, or run any of his horses at the New York Racing Association's tracks. And that ban includes races at Belmont Park with the Belmont Stakes coming up June 5th. Wow. What a blow to Bob Baffert, for sure, and for all of the horses that he trains. Music means that I gotta ditch the stage. Thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Eric Garcia for his fine work on the technicals. Make it count.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.